Georgia offers some amazing cocktails, but there was, legally anyway, a long dry spell, prohibition. It was the law of the land from 1920 to 1933. Georgia had its own rules about alcohol, when and where it could be bought and sold, for example. A museum that opened in Savannah this year tells the prohibition story from first drop to last, and I talked about it in front of a live audience in Savannah with the museum's manager, Kayla Black. It turns out Savannah is a good town for that museum.
You know, you've got big names throughout the country like Al Capone and others along with him who have focused right here in Savannah. They called this the spigot of the South in the 1920s because huge amounts of liquor from the Caribbean was coming up through here and then being distributed throughout the Midwest. We were the funnel of alcohol into the Midwest of the country.
So was Savannah ever dry?
Technically, yes. In practicality, no. Savannah was never fully dry.
Well, they stood by their principles. Let's hear a little bit of tape. This is Reverend Billy Sunday. He was one of the most vocal critics of the sale of alcohol, a very strong supporter of prohibition. So here's a clip of him delivering one of his sermons.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion. America needs to be taken down to God's bathhouse and the hose turned on her. And the time isn't far distant when the wheels of God's judgment are going to go sweeping through this old God-hating world.
All right, let's hear a little bit more sound. Many people will associate prohibition automatically with this group. It's the Women's Christian Temperance Union. They fought very valiantly against the distribution of alcohol. So let's hear a clip of one of their members.
I solemnly promise, God helping me, to abstain from the use of all distilled, fermented, and malt liquors, and that means wine and beer. I don't drink, and I will do all I can to keep you from drinking.
Okay, so that's one point of view. So let's play one more. This is a clip of a newsreel. So even before repeal happened in 1933, I guess a lot of cities were much like Savannah, that they just went ahead and ignored the Volstead Act. Many businesses did not wait for that repeal to serve their liquor. So here's a clip from a newsreel in 1933, that year.
The lid is off in many places, with the downfall of prohibition being celebrated in real old-time hilarity. Yes, and by the renewal of old acquaintances, hotels and nightclubs report a real pre-war spirit among those revelers. Boy!
So what do we not understand? Even though it was relatively recent, I think people don't really know the history of prohibition all that well. What do we not understand or remember about it?
When most people think about prohibition, they think, oh, there was this 13-year period where people weren't allowed to drink alcohol in the country, and that was really the long and short of it for most people. But what we're hoping to portray in the museum is that this was not just all of a sudden people were like, you know what, I think we should not drink alcohol, and then they turned it on and turned it back on, or turned it off and then turned it back on. This was a process that started basically from the beginning of our country and lasts even till today. We have prohibition groups in the country that are still trying to push for national prohibition. The Prohibition Party is still an active organization in the country. So many of the different things that we have today have direct roots in prohibition. Organized crime, the income tax was passed as an amendment just so that we could have prohibition. Lots of different little things about our lives today have direct ties to prohibition and that 13 years.
Okay, so let's hear again a little bit more tape. And this is John D. Rockefeller. Obviously, most of us know him now as a philanthropist, very wealthy industrialist. He was against prohibition, and it was for what that unintended consequence, which was the creation of organized crime. So here is a little bit of John D. Rockefeller speaking in 1932, calling for the repeal of prohibition.
Many of our best citizens piqued at what they regarded as an infringement of their private rights have openly and unabashed disregarded the 18th Amendment, that as an inevitable result, respect for all law has been greatly lessened, but crime has increased.
So what ended up killing the Volstead Act? Was it the crime?
You have to look at what the Volstead Act was as a whole. So the 18th Amendment was was the first time in American history where an amendment had been passed that limited the rights of Americans. Almost every other law and amendment that had been passed expanded the rights of the American people, and this one really curtailed it. It also destroyed a large an amount of industry. And ultimately, when you come to in the 1930s, we've got the combination of the Great Depression and needing to find jobs for people, and the mere fact that you can't legislate morality. You can't, what ultimately happened is people were looking at this saying, this was something that was legal and fine, now it's illegal, and it was opening up pathways for small criminals to become big time criminals, which is where we have the mob lords of Al Capone and Lucky Luciano, who were just small time folks who used alcohol as a way to break into the big leagues.
Do we have any idea how much alcohol was landing on Savannah's shores during the time of Prohibition?
No, we're not exactly sure. It was a lot, though. one of the most famous names of the time period, Bill McCoy, he was very frequent into Savannah. His very first trip from the Caribbean bringing alcohol into the States was here into Savannah. And it really just flowed through. At one point, Savannah had more than 700 blind tigers, which were little tiny juice joints around the city.
Like speakeasies?
Like little tiny speakeasies, little personally owned speakeasies throughout the city. And it was not hard for you to find a drink. There's one story that says, if you came into Savannah and you tried to find how long it took to get a drink, it took about 3 minutes for you to find some place that would serve you booze during Prohibition.
Well, that's time is much shorter now.
Yeah, even shorter.
Yeah. So in the minute that we have left, what remains? Do we still have some of this history in Savannah? Can you walk around and find some of these?
Oh, absolutely. We've got the remnants of Prohibition today with blue laws, where in Savannah you can't buy a drink of alcohol until 12:30 on Sunday in the afternoon, and that's a very recent. It used to be no alcohol on Sundays whatsoever, and that's directly from Prohibition itself.
That's Kayla Black. She's the manager of the American Prohibition Museum, which is now open in Savannah. To plan a visit to that museum, visit gpbnews.org. And that's our show for today, but we want to hear about your favorite mixed drinks, even if they're non-alcoholic. You can call us with a mixed drink recipe, 404-500-9457. You can also post on Facebook, of course, or reach us on Twitter. The show is at OST Talk. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great day.